What is up, Facebook? AJ here. We're going to get started here in just a few minutes. I just realized I was sitting here quietly while you all were here watching. So that's wonderful. How's it going, everybody? Look, you can see me here. You can see me there. You can see me there. Awesome. There we go. Awesome. Cool. So we're going to get started here in just about 10 minutes. We're trying to jump on Mr. Eric Bach on an interview, so hopefully that's all sorted. And if not, you know, I'll just sit here and talk about everything in the world. So we are going to talk with Mr. Eric Bach today about how to get published on fitness magazines and on different websites and things like that. And it really applies to you even if you're not a fitness in the fitness industry. Eric is, of course, an expert at specifically the fitness industry. But if you're any sort of industry expert trying to get published in places, this is going to be a very valuable 30, 40 minutes here. So if you're just jumping on, why don't you tell me what is up, and you know what questions you might have for Eric. Also tell me, what did you do over the weekend? I'm interested. So my week started today because I went to a mastermind event over the weekend. If you read my emails or follow my stuff, you already know that, which is I guess fortunate for you. I don't know, super unfortunate. And so over the weekend, we had the pleasure of working. I was able to meet up with all these super successful industry leaders, like CEOs, people whose names you'd probably recognize. But for the sake of respecting them, I won't. But it was super, super valuable for me. It was like one of the most, it's the most amount of learning I've done without feeling fried, right? So you ever like go to like college or school or even like a mastermind or a conference and your brain, like my brain literally hurts at the end of that. So yeah, anyways, that was my weekend. This was the one time I didn't hurt. I actually could have probably stayed for like a week forever. I think it was also helpful to be away from technology and things like that for a while as well, because we kind of did like a little bit of a media blackout, which is interesting because there's a lot of internet entrepreneurs there. So that's pretty awesome. But yep, thank you for being here. We're going to get started in, oops, wrong arrow. There we go. 7 minutes or so. Okay. We're going to be going over how to get published as a fitness writer or on a website or in a magazine or both. And we'll be talking with Mr. Eric Bach about that. If you don't know Eric, you should. He's been published on things like T-Nations, Men's Health, Muscle and Fitness, Schwarzenegger, all these different cool websites and magazines. So he's going to show you his industry expertise and how to do that. And it's going to be awesome for people specifically who are definitely in the fitness industry. But even if you're not in the fitness industry, it's going to be massively valuable for you to hear from Eric. There he is. Awesome. Eric just jumped on there. How's it going, man? Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you now. Very good.
Awesome, dude. Cool.
I had to test some different spots as well. I was seeing if I could do it outside, but I couldn't get the Wi-Fi to work as well as I wanted. But here we are, man.
Dude, awesome. Looks good. You're live on Facebook right now. Dude, where are you? Looks like you're in like a bedroom.
Yeah, bed? I am. I'm okay. In my brother-in-law's house, West Palm. So awesome, I've been down here for a few days, having a good time and relaxing a little bit.
Dude, I appreciate you taking the holiday too. If you're on holiday down there, for talking to me for a little bit of time, it's super nice. I felt like such a jerk lately because I've had like people on their birthdays, people on vacation who are like jumping on here. So yeah, I appreciate it, brother.
Man, every day talking to you is a holiday. Come on now.
Thank you. Oh my goodness, you. I'm gonna be looking this way, so because this is where the camera is, but. Please know I'm fully invested in you. Is that cool?
No worries, man.
Awesome, man. So we're going to get started here in just about 5 minutes. I don't know if you want to share this anywhere. You don't have to, but we always jump on like I did this with Craig Ballantyne the other day, and the whole thing kicked off like a minute before the show. So because we had this 10 minutes of like get ready time, it allowed us to like very calmly just reboot it, and we were good to go pretty quickly here. So
yeah, where are you sharing it directly from? Is it off your personal page?
It's on my business page. Yeah, I don't do this. I do this off my... Oh, I share it onto my personal page. Yeah, so like I'm going to be sharing it right now in just a minute. So you can share it wherever you want, or you can not share it if you're like, you know what? I don't want people to know I'm on this thing. I would understand.
I want to share it all over right now.
Share it all over the world. Yeah, totally, man. So I saw your training on like how to get published and stuff, and I thought that'd be a cool thing to talk about today. But I generally do this no agenda. I just talk to people I like who are really smart, and we just kind of talk shop for a little bit, and you know, it's provided some value for the world. So I'm hoping That's what it keeps doing.
Yeah, for sure, man. Let's just keep it chill. You know, you and I, we can talk shop all day. So let's give people a lot of good value and have a good time.
Totally, man. How's the since we got a little bit of time here, since we officially, because we do this almost every day. I don't know if you've noticed.
But yeah,
I've been doing it almost. Well, I started as like once a week, but like just cool people like you and John's like, oh, I'll do it on Thursday. I'm like, dude, yeah, I don't like anybody who's cool. I'm just gonna inconvenience myself to talk to. So I'm gonna do it every day if I can. So yeah, man. But yeah, we've been doing it every day. So we try to keep people on a schedule for the most part, unless it's somebody super, super special. How's the business coaching stuff going? I know started getting into that.
Yeah, it's going well, man. I mean, we really did. We haven't gone full in on our launch type sequence yet with this.
Totally.
Because we're trying to really determine what the workload is going to be for us and making mm-hmm. sure the highest value that we can for our clients between, totally. Testing price points and seeing what the scalability is with it. While right. not compromising on our message of giving highly customized service, because if people all have the same exact fitness business, everybody's going to blend in. It's just like anything else. So, things are going very well. We took on a number of new students to start the year, so they're a few weeks in right now.
That's and, awesome, dude.
It's a blast, and it it really really helps me personally to even think back to my systems and what things I probably could have done better. And then being able to think about the 30,000 foot view from somebody else's perspective, because everybody has a unique message, and try to determine, what can we do that's going to help them stand out, get their message out, find those ideal clients, and continue to build from there. So it's been a good learning experience. Definitely a challenge, but extremely fulfilling, because
it's super fulfilling. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure you found the same thing when you started going that route with your business, right?
Yeah. It is challenging because you have like the backstory of how you run things in the back of your head, and other people don't understand what you're thinking and understand how your brain works. So it's like, it's really easy for me to like, I'm like, well, just do it like this. That makes sense. And so it was one of the things we had to learn, is like, we had to be able to make sure every person could get their specific experience and that it adapts for different people's lifestyle and goals, right? Because you probably have clients who just want to make six figures. You probably have clients who want to make $1 million, right? And so those are two different worlds like you live in. So you have to adjust kind of the way the business is going to look because of that,
Yeah, definitely. It's like I said, people have all kinds of different types of their businesses. And really where we excel is working with people who want to directly add the online component. But some of these people also have the brick and mortar style gyms. So being able to decide whether we want to create two completely separate businesses or purely a hybrid model, which we've talked about in depth before, whether messaging needs to change, because, once you start messaging to everybody, you really start to reach nobody. So it's a lot of big decisions and making sure that, we build that really strong foundation right from the beginning so we can build upwards in the direction we want rather than scattershot all the way around.
Totally. And what's his name? Is Daniel Friedman, correct? He's partnering with you on that?
Yeah.
Awesome. Yep. Okay, cool. Right. Yeah. How do you know Daniel? I'm not super familiar with him. I know he's done some coaching for you in the past, right? Am I incorrect? Is that an assumption?
Yeah, so my initial interaction with Daniel was he was a mentor working in a mentorship role for a bit with John Goodman, the PTDC. And so just kind of started some conversations on Facebook and whatnot. John happened to be my first business coach in terms of getting my systems up and rolling. And so we just kind of talked and built a friendship over a while. And then, I had hired him to do some work with Pac Performance and a lot of editing, and he continues to do so. And things have just matured over time, and he's got a lot of excellent experience, both from working with large firms in terms of marketing. He was a television producer.
Awesome.
Yeah. He was the first editor for the CrossFit Journal way back.
Wow. I did not know that about him. Yeah. So I've only heard good things about him. I'm just not super familiar. So that's why I'm asking. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's, it's great. We have very different personalities, which works very well actually in terms of a partnership. And forces us both to continually adapt and learn from each other. And, he brings a wealth of experience and has worked with fitness businesses, big and small. And so it lets us really talk about a lot of different ways that we can work to scale people to different levels based on what they want to accomplish.
Awesome, man. All right, I'm gonna get excited here. Let me do some little intro really quick for our YouTube viewers. Welcome to AJTV episode 9, the worst named show on the internet. I am AJ Rivera. Today we are here with Mr. Eric Bach, and I'm gonna cue our intro right about now. All right, so we are here today with Mr. Eric Bach. Eric is the owner of Bach Performance. He is a writer for T Nation, Muscles, Men's Fitness, Muscle and Health, Schwarzenegger Online, all these other things. I think Elite FTS, basically anything fitness related that you respect, Eric's been featured on. He's also a business coach. He helps other personal trainers improve their writing, get featured on places, and also build a hybrid or online personal training business. Eric, thank you for being here, my friend.
Hey, thank you for having me, AJ. It's always an excellent time to chat with you, and I'm stoked to be here.
Awesome, man. I appreciate you taking the time. As I've said, I know you're on holiday, but I appreciate you talking to me here. So for people who don't know who you are, can you do the real quick qualify yourself, kind of tell people what your deal is, why should they listen to you, that kind of thing?
Yeah, so I've been a personal trainer for about 9 years now. I had done some previous work in the private sector in terms of sport performance. I also did some work in terms of collegiate strength and conditioning early on. I went to a smaller school, so I was able to get a lot of experiences that aren't always at your fingertips, say if you're at a big Division I school and wanting to work with athletes. So I like to think that I accelerated that learning curve a little bit and got to get a ton of experience very early on. And went through some different trials and tribulations working in different style gyms, whether it was a big, chain corporate style gym versus a private facility versus being an independent contractor. And through those experiences, I've been able to work with thousands of clients, both in person and online. I like to focus on first improving performance, but then using performance to drive changes in terms of aesthetics and helping people look better naked, something I mentioned quite a bit.
Yes.
And my big way of getting my message out these days is definitely writing. So as you had mentioned, writing's the way that I tend to learn. So for me to be able to dive into research and look at new topics and try to answer the questions that my clients have has allowed me to expand my business and help more people and educate myself all at once. So these days, like you said, I'm spending a lot of time at coaching new personal trainers and trainers looking to add online systems or what we call a hybrid fitness business where they combine online and in-person training to help their clients, as well as still doing some personal training in person because that keeps the sword sharp and helps me hone my skills, stay on top of the craft and build from there. So a lot of moving parts right now, but, I would have it no other way.
That's amazing. Awesome, dude. Yeah. I remember too, I was talking to, so if that's not enough reason to listen to him, I don't know what it is, but, John Goodman is, and you are kind of like John Goodman. I don't know if you would credit him with like creating the hybrid model, probably, but you kind of really popularized it and made like got it honed in and made it work for a lot of other people. Is that correct? I mean,
John really, one, he was a huge influential figure for me, as I'd mentioned before when we've chatted. He was the first business coach I had hired back a few years ago. Definitely a scary decision, but, he introduced me to his systems and whatnot. And, learning from him and then seeing how I can, take some of these same principles and apply them to the experiences that I've had as a trainer and be able to help other trainers has really helped me expand that portion of it. And really help, a lot of trainers build that component into their business to achieve some freedom, as well as help them be able to get their message out and help more clients.
Totally. So let's kind of talk about this because, obviously a lot of trainers follow you and me and our stuff. And dude, your hybrid model, I have to thank you. I mean, Eric came and did a mastermind event for my clients, and I have clients who have adopted it. And they're making thousands of dollars because of literally you coming and talking to them. So honest to God, like off the top of my head, Stephanie Novak is closed like $7,000 this week.
That's awesome.
Because using kind of a lot of your principles and me working with her as well. But, I 100% inspired by you. I am not that smart. I just take from really smart people and put it together in a way that a dumb person can understand it. So cool. So what's working? I want to talk a little bit about getting featured on places because I think you're amazing at that. You have like I have like two tags under my name on like all my landing pages. You have like 20, and yours are way more reputable. Except for Early to Rise, of course. But all the other ones are for me are like, you know, they're up and coming. So how did you get like, how did you start to get featured on all these places? And if you're like a new into fitness writing or blogging or whatever, how do you start to break into that industry? Like, how did you do it and how can I do it?
Yeah, so really the initial process is you just have to write and you have to make it a consistent habit. Some of the best advice I got early on was from John Goodman. And he said, you know, for these next couple of months, I want you to treat writing like it's a job, just like you would training your clients. And so I read a number of books, Bird by Bird, On Writing by Stephen King, The Elements of Style, you know, a number of other books, and really started to study the craft and made sure I was spending at least an hour, 2-3 hours on many occasions reading and writing about the process of writing. So being able to understand these pieces and components. Beyond that, talking to my clients and finding out what really was their biggest struggle. What were they coming up with, and what was, you know, holding them back from getting the results that they wanted? Because a lot of times people start writing in the field and what they want to do is write about what they think is sexy, what sounds like it's going to get a lot of clicks. Yeah. And that doesn't necessarily help people. What really helps people is finding out what their problems are, using their words so they can reach you and interact with you and understand what you're actually saying, then being able to put together a concise plan in a structured way that's both going to hook your audience in and then allow you to put good information to give them a step-by-step process to accomplishing that goal. So if I was really looking for really solid, tangible advice for somebody looking to get into writing, treat it like a job. Make sure this is your number one most important task each day that you're writing, whether it's 30 minutes, 45, 60 minutes, and just try to solve one problem. Keep it simple, solve a problem, and continue to hone your craft. From there, as you start to improve, then it would start to reach out to people who have the audiences that you are looking to get. So for me, you know, I wanted to be in T Nation. That's what I grew up reading. I've seen all these high quality articles.
I still want to be in T Nation somehow, but I keep getting smaller and smaller. So I'm less and less qualified to be on there. But yeah, totally. Go ahead. Sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're good. So for me, I'm like, okay, where are these other writers? Where are they going? What other blogs do they write for? What are their blogs? And how can I potentially create a piece of content for that audience that's going to help solve a problem that they're actively trying to solve in their messaging? So I think a few of my first guest posts, one is able to get an elite FTS pretty early, which is great in terms of building a feeder system to get into T Nation, a lot of parallel interests and audiences there. But I reached out to guys like Tony Gentlecore and, you know, put all kinds of time and focus into writing the best couple articles that I could and sending them out to people who are, you know, actively in the places that I want to be. And then through building that reputation, people starting to see you from those audiences, you can start to build your way up to make a pitch to a greater and greater audience. But, you know, I have a lot of trainers that come out and reach out and they're asking, hey, can you send me the contact for T Nation? I see you write for them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, I can't, I'm sorry, but I'm like, what have you written? Where have you been before? What type of stuff are you talking about? Because, you know, as I love to make connections for people, but first and foremost, you have to make sure that the substance is behind what they're doing and that they're ready to get to that stage. You can't really skip those steps. You're just going to get rejected and ruin that chance that you have, because if you get a continual no from pitching, it's going to be very hard for that editor to potentially change their mind and say yes if they've glazed over 10 or 12 submissions. So build the craft slowly, talk to those who are already in the place that you want to be, and build your way up and then make a pitch.
Dude, and I think to add to what you're saying, I think that's all super helpful. And you know way more about the writing than me, so please let me know if this doesn't fall in line with what you think is correct. But like, a lot of times we write because we think, oh, once I make it to T Nation, I'm just gonna be a millionaire. Like, I'm just gonna be famous and everybody's gonna want me and it's gonna be really easy. And they're more attached to the result instead of the process of becoming a good writer. So they're just kind of throwing some slop together, saying, here, can you get it featured on T Nation or like Entrepreneur or whatever, Forbes, and they're thinking they're really attached to the result as opposed to like the actual process of becoming a good writer. Do you find that like a lot of people, not maybe your clients, but people who just reach out to you, have you come across that mindset? I mean, how do you help people overcome it? Do you just kind of say go away? What do you do with that stuff?
Yeah, definitely. No, like anything else, people want the fastest track to success. And a lot of times people aren't willing to put the work and the background in that it takes. You know, it's like people see, I'm still a young guy and getting into some of these locations and they're like, how did you do this at such a young age? I mean, just grind, just work, just work, just work, and continue to make the product a little bit better. So when people continue, when people reach out, you know, asking how they can get to this level, it just comes down to the basics, man. You got to build that excellent foundation of putting out high quality content, and you got to be an excellent coach first and foremost, because, you know, anybody can really recite research and try to, you know, put an argument together, but unless you have that experience in the trenches and seeing how clients actually interact, you know, with different topics, different literature, different studies, the application is not going to match what you're putting out. And if you're writing stuff where your content and then the application don't wind up creating success for people, people are going to stop believing what you write, and it doesn't matter where you're published.
Yeah, totally. No, I agree. And I think, like, what's great about you, and like one of, I mean, I like a lot about you, but like what's really great about you is like you're a student of the craft you're teaching. Like, you're constantly trying to get better and better at writing, and you have to be willing to be good, I think, and to add to what you're saying, you have to be willing to like get better at the thing that you want to be known for. Like, you can't just slap together a book and say, I want to be a New York Times bestseller or whatever. You have to actually hone that craft in there, and you have to continuously learn and ask for resources. And this is something like I'm just starting. Like, I actually reached out to like a bunch of writers. I'd actually probably want to know your thoughts too. John Romaniello and Craig Ballantyne, like, send me a bunch of books to make me a great writer, because I'm a medium writer on my best day. So I want to get good. And that's the advice everybody told me, is like, you need to practice like every day. And you need to also read about it and read great writing so that you can adopt that sort of mindset. So just to add, I think, and you do that all the time. Like, you're always writing every day almost. I don't, are you still writing every day for like an hour or half hour or some crazy amount of time?
You know, not the last 4 or 5 days, because like you said, I've been on holiday a little bit, but right. You know, what I really try to focus on every day, if I can create something, it can be an email, it can be an article, continue right. to hone that creative process, that and actual deliberate practice with the writing process itself. So at any point I'm trying to read something that's going to help make me a better writer, whether it's structurally or just improve my vocabulary and be able to apply that and focus on trying to apply that. You know, because deliberate practice is not an easy thing. It's not supposed to be easy. It's like once you get to a certain point in anything in terms of training, you plateau. Yeah. Same thing happens with writing or any, you know, mental skill that you're trying to acquire. And you have to get uncomfortable. And for me, you know, you got to put yourself out there and be open to feedback, but you also have to take that deliberate practice to hone the skill. So I have a book like just out of camera view. I'm going to grab it for you. 1 second.
Go grab it. Yeah, here, I can pull you off. That's no biggie.
All right, 1 second.
Hey guys, if you're watching while Eric's grabbing that book, throw some questions you have for Eric on how to get featured on stuff or anything. You could just ask him, you know, what his favorite exercise is, what's his favorite color. Ask him dumb things. I'm sure he'd really appreciate that, but whatever. I have those dumb questions already listed. So if you have any questions or you just want to say hello to him, go ahead. I'm going to go in here too. What's up, Samim? Petra says hello. Thank you for jumping on, Petra. Chris Jarvis, what's up, man? Corey, yeah, I got it sorted. Hi, Dolly. Hi, Jamie. We ready, Mr. Bach?
Ready.
Let's do it.
Yeah, so talking about deliberate practice, one thing I like to do each day is make sure I write for at least 60 minutes. A lot of times this ends up me going down the rabbit hole and taking 3 or 4 hours. But one thing I'm trying to do, as I mentioned, deliberate practice. I picked up Writing Tools by Roy Peter Clark right here.
Okay, cool.
And within it, there's 50 essential strategies for every writer. And these are short little chapters, maybe 5, 6, 7 pages. And they give a ton of examples on, you know, potentially one strategy that you can work on and a couple different ways that you can continue to practice that. And what I decided, you know, at the start of the year, I'm not a big person on resolutions, but if I take one of these each week and focus on these activities for even half an hour, and then when I'm going through my editing process and pruning what I'm writing, if I focus on that piece and continue to build on that skill over the year, I'm going to be a much better writer with more tools in the toolkit. So something very simple you could do, hell, you could take 5 or 10 minutes each day. It's better than nothing. But pick up Writing Tools, 50 Essential Writing Strategies for Every Writer by Roy Peter Clark. That's a little green book here. Yep. And it's been something that's made a big difference. A lot of the stuff I've written for 2017 hasn't been published yet, but very proud of what's coming up.
That's awesome, dude. So Chris Jarvis is asking, do you recommend still blogging on your personal website? And I'll add to that, how often do you blog on there?
Definitely that you want that to be kind of like a final destination landing spot for you. Obviously, there's a lot of different things you can do to build a business. Especially with social media the way that it is these days. But you still want to drive people to your website through your writing and be able to relate to them and build that long-term personal relationship. Because if anybody remembers, you know, MySpace was huge way back in the day. I think I was like early high school and MySpace was big.
Yeah.
That was bigger than Facebook at the time.
Yep.
And you never know when something like a social media channel can change. And you want to be able to have something where people can still go on the internet, whether that's your website or and get them onto your email list or something else. So there's always an importance for writing content on your blog. In terms of how often you should publish, personally, I'm once or twice per week. I mean, but that's also been for 5 or 6 years. So there's a ton of content on the site. If I was just starting, what I would do is I would focus on setting a goal that I know I can do. So we take kind of a precision nutrition mindset when we're talking about this with our business clients and say, on a scale of 1 to 10, how sure are you that you can write one blog post for every 2 weeks? And then we shorten it there from that point on. How confident in the scale of 1 to 10 are you that you'd be able to write a blog post every 10 days or every 7 days? As long as we're at like a 9 or a 10, you know, we're going to try to set that as a goal and make sure it happens. But it's more important to set a smaller goal and make sure you do it consistently and build the habit than it is to be over aggressive and try to write 3 a week and fizzle out after 4 months and have another dead blog on the internet. So find what you can do. Doesn't have to be 2,000, 3,000 word articles, but make it consistent, make it a habit, and you'll continue to build from that point on.
I think that's good advice, man. And like, if I can add, like with any sort of content, like consistency, just like Eric said, is the most important thing. You can always do extra, right? Like we consistently do the show once a week, but if somebody awesome like Eric or somebody else wants to come on, I'm going to find time to get them on here. But I have my bare minimum of one time per week. And so that you guys all know I'm going to be here. And the same thing with your blog. Like if your blog lacks consistency, you're basically telling your audience, hey, maybe I'll come, maybe I won't, and they'll kind of lose that. The other thing too, and this, I spent a weekend in Austin at a mastermind, is you want to try to become like platform independent. Like, because if everything you do is just on Facebook or just on YouTube or whatever, you have kind of no control and it can be taken away from you at any time. Not that they're trying to do that, but it can happen, right? And the more you can get people actually going to your website, which is the closest amount of total control you can have, right? It, the better your business is going to be, and you're going to be able to truly just have an audience that can find you anywhere. So I'm a huge, like, we're going hard into our website and our blog. We have like 1 to 4 vlogs going up a week this year, and with a bare minimum of one, because of wanting to like mitigate our risk in the event, you know, paid ads stop working or the market shifts to something else, so, or becomes overcrowded, as I'm sure you've already experienced with your webinar registrations. So yeah, cool, let's get into this. Where do you see the fitness industry, let's talk about fitness industry, heading more towards this year in 2017? Where do you think a lot of trainers are going to be focusing their energy, and where should they be focusing their energy?
You know, online training is going to continue to build. I think things are going to, the middle is going to fade out. It's going to be very high-end, expensive packages, or it's going to be lower price option things such as membership sites to get a larger funnel in the bottom. It really depends on your messaging and who you want to work with. But we're already seeing a lot of people adding membership sites. You know, Charles Polquin, you know, had a membership release this past week.
Right. Yep. That's
going to be a pretty massive membership site with the amount of content he's put out over the years. And yeah, so if we're looking, you know, purely at the online market, it's going to be very high end. It's going to be very low end. You know, there's not a whole lot of room in the middle.
I agree.
In terms of in-person training, you know, people are becoming a little bit more independent overall. People are becoming better educated on fitness as a whole. The accountability is still important, but I think one-on-ones are continuing to dial back in terms of a training strategy. Based at both on price and the knowledge base of clients coming in. So the hybrid business strategy, you know, that we teach our clients where they are able to come in, you know, maybe once, 1 to 4, 6 times a month, and everything else is taken online. And then building in kind of the EFT price point model where clients would pay a per month rather than a per session, you know, style income strategy is going to continue to build. Both from the trainer's perspective, this almost creates a salary full-time job and lets you step back away from trading dollars for hours on a consistent basis. And for the client, this gives them, you know, the accountability that they need from coaching and the expert guidance, but they're not necessarily, you know, always with you one-on-one, and, you know, it can be really beneficial all the way around. So two big ways that I see the industry changing in terms of, you know, the business aspect.
Yeah, no, I agree. And if you, even if you just look at the economic climate, right, like the middle class is shrinking, right? You're getting more broke people and more wealthy people, and the middle class is gone. So basically you have two choices, right? You can do the lower end stuff, which is fine. It'll work because there's a huger, there's a bigger market for it now. Or you could do, I think it's simpler to go high end, in my opinion, because it's easier to convince 10 people to, you know, invest in you high and give them an amazing experience than it is to have 100 people, you know, give you very little. And then there's less accountability as well. Like you're less, if I'm paying somebody $10 a month for workouts, I'm not that motivated to show up to the workouts versus if I pay Eric $400 a month, I'm going to, you know, he's going to send me accountability check-ins. He's going to check in on me on the Facebook group, and I'm going to make sure I did all the workouts and write down everything and send it to him and say, listen, dude, this is what I'm doing. What do I need to do next? So, yeah, I will echo what you're saying, and I highly recommend it for anybody who's doing in person or online. Like, I think you pick an extreme because the middle is the hardest thing to sell, and it's I don't know, I think it's miserable personally. So yeah. I don't like the middle. I used to do like middle of the road boot camps, and you get like a lot of people and they're not paying that much, but they're paying enough where it like hurts them. So I don't know, that's my own baggage. Cool, man. Let's see. If you guys have any other questions for Eric before I let him get back to his vacation, throw it in there. I got one more question. Where are you focusing most of your energy in your marketing right now? Are you focusing mostly on building up that blog? Are you doing Facebook ads? A little bit of both?
You know, we're doing a little bit of both. You know, creating consistent content. For me, the one thing I found, I can try Facebook ads and every different marketing strategy that's hot. You know, yeah. What really drives it for me is putting out high quality content and getting people to the blog, and the rest takes care of itself. It's like building that foundation of skill that's going to allow everything else to grow. For my business, that's creating content and making sure it's out there. Beyond that, yeah, we do have some Facebook ads that are going. We're, you know, kind of testing and tweaking some different things, but that's a continual process as the algorithm continues to change. Videos are obviously huge, yeah, and continuing to build. I know we've chatted about this a little bit, but if Facebook is taking out full billboards in places, mm-hmm, about Facebook, yeah, Live, you've got to be on Facebook Live. So I've been doing about once a week on the Bach performance page, making sure my email list sees those, as well as my Minimalist Muscle group, which is a closed, yeah, group that people can join. But you know, Facebook Live, and just getting out content, man. Just keep it simple, making sure that we are solving the problems that people are going through, and everything else will be good.
Yeah, I'll echo again what you said. I highly recommend, if you're not using Facebook Live, even if it feels like nobody's watching, please get on there, guys. Especially, I mean, you can do, you know, and just give. Stop trying to sell all the time off of Facebook Live. Just because of how connected we are now, the ruse of, you know, I'm pretending to give you, but really I'm trying to sell you, is going to go away. You actually have to be somebody with something to offer people. So just keep giving, and it will grow. And yeah, Facebook has never purchased like billboard advertisements or anything ever before Facebook Live. So they have come out and said it, and I've said this before yesterday. They want the only thing, like, they want all of your content to be consumed on Facebook. TV, everything. They want everything to be on Facebook. So the more you can do it, even if it doesn't feel like it's getting huge, you know, like you're not like, I have 100 viewers, it's fine. Just staying consistent with it and doing your best. Awesome, dude.
Yeah, I agree. Dude, you mentioned that. I watched the entire inauguration on Facebook Live. I was like,
I did too. Yep.
It's kind of incredible when you think about it. Like,
I was thinking about that. Yeah. And once they add cast, once you can cast from Facebook Live to the TV, that's game changer, man, because you're essentially become a TV show. Like this, which is just, you know, me and you hanging out, becomes, yeah, a TV show legitimately, because you can cast it onto your TV at any time. So, and you can interact, where watching live TV now, there's a degree of separation. So yeah, man, I think the Facebook takeover, I think, is coming. And I think Apple has something that's coming really cool too, but that's a different conversation, I think, for a different, yeah, time. But yeah, totally, man. All right, cool. My last question. I know your favorite superhero is Captain America. They might not know that. Why is Captain America your favorite dude?
Man, Captain America, he's just a good dude, man. Like, I would like to say he's all natural, but he's not. But
he's all natural. You know,
oh man, I was about to say free. Something I should. No, just, you know, kind of his story where he was, you know, the guy who had all the mental grit and mental acumen that you would want from somebody, yeah, but did not have the physical skills, and was all of a sudden given those, was able to turn on the switch and make a big difference. You know, obviously totally. It's fiction, but you know, I think that's really cool. And hell, I'm kind of a patriot, right? I've got a bunch of family in the military, stuff like that. So
you kind of look like Captain America too.
I've heard that before, so maybe that's it.
You literally, yeah, because like when we did our podcast a while ago, I told some people were like, "Oh, who's his favorite? Is it Captain America?" I'm like, "Yeah." They're like, "Cause he looks like him. He's obviously him." And I'm like, "Oh my god!" But he also like uses the basics, and he's like kind of ruthless, but not like bad, and he's relentless is a better word for it, relentless. So and he has a shield. Like it's a pretty sweet thing. Awesome, dude. All right, if I want to follow Eric Bock's stuff so that I can be a really awesome writer or just look like Captain America, have awesome abs, get better at power cleans, where can I find your stuff?
Hey, BockPerformance.com. My website is the easiest spot. Obviously, though, on Facebook, I'm very active. More so on my personal page at this point. I believe that is Facebook.com/Eric.Bock.3. Otherwise, I've got an excellent Facebook group. That's called Minimalist Muscle. You guys can just search that in the search bar. We do have to approve everybody so we don't get a bunch of people spamming, but it's an excellent community that's grown really quickly of over 1,200 people. We've got dozens of coaches in there, people interested in looking better naked, getting jacked, building a good fitness business, and just a lot of good conversations and interactions. So, you know, feel free to join us there and be part of the conversation and join the community.
Awesome, dude. Yeah, and it's a really great group. I'm in there, and I love the content you put up there. I always ask probably pain in the ass questions, like, but I'm always thankful for the amount of content you give without, like, you're almost, anytime you put ask, I mean, you're never asking for anything except for, like, opinions and ways you can better help them. So I highly recommend joining him. And his blog is amazing. I was on it earlier today. It's just making sure I got the domain name right. And it's got just so much great content on there all the time. So I highly recommend it. It's right underneath Eric's face, BockPerformance.com there. So, dude, thank you for being here. I really, really appreciate it. Have fun showing off those abs on the beach.
Thank you, man. I've got one more day to enjoy it. It was 12 degrees when I left Denver, and mid-70s right now, so I can't complain with this temperature change. I'm becoming less and less tolerant to the cold, which you can probably relate to as well.
I am, yes, I'm totally. Dude, I was just in Denver like a week ago with Craig Ballantyne. Yeah.
I was, awesome, man.
I was working with him. Yeah, after we had met at the thing at John Romanello's mastermind, I was started working with. He's basically forcing me to be an adult is what it is. So Craig, so I had to fly to Denver, and he just basically laid the smack down in his very kind and gentle way. So anyway, sidebar. I love Denver, though. I've never been, and I officially love Denver. It's like, I think it's like Austin, but it's a little newer. Everything's newer, and there's more options for food. So as opposed to barbecue. So yeah, awesome, dude. All right. Wave goodbye. Thank you for being here, brother. I'll talk to you soon. As always, if you ever need anything, please don't hesitate to reach out to me. Okay, man?
Awesome, brother. Thanks for having me. Thank you, everybody, for watching. Talk to you later.
All right. This has been episode 9 of AJTV. If you liked it or medium it, please just hit like, share. You don't have to buy anything unless you want to. I could just put a random donate link. But aside from that, just like and share. We're just trying to share this information to the world so that people get good content from actual industry leaders and experts, okay? As opposed to just random schmucks. Tomorrow we have somebody amazing on. I don't remember who, that's how amazing they are, but we have somebody amazing on tomorrow. Let me double check my calendar really quick. And tomorrow we have the amazing Adam Earhart interview. So that's awesome. He's from Modern Marketing Podcast. He'll be able to talk all about digital marketing and the scape. And on Thursday, we have a bonus episode with Mr. John Romaniello himself, and he's going to physically be here. And you guys will get to see how truly small this room is, because he's just going to take up all the space. So anyways, thanks for being here, guys. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Stay awesome.